passage here in 1 John chapter 3 is a reminder of God's goodness to us, where he talks about how he has given us so much. He's adopted us into his family. He's given us these beautiful promises of his return. But in return, God asks for you and I to do our part as Christians, as God's children, and that is he wants us to live a holy life. So here in chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." So our title is Purifieth Himself. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are grateful for this day, this opportunity to assemble, open your word. Pray the Holy Spirit would now use it in our hearts in powerful ways to speak to each one of us, Lord, whatever the needs might be. And I pray, Lord, that we would be real with the Holy Spirit about where we stand in this matter of purity and honoring you with our lives. Thank you for your word and the opportunity to open it. Have your will and way and guide us, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So God here reminding us many times in this book, God reveals to us different ways in which he has manifested or bestowed his love upon us. Of course, Calvary being the primary expression of God's love, the death of his only begotten Son on our behalf. But he says, behold what manner of love, behold. In other words, take notice that in God's love, he also bestowed upon us this beautiful thing of making us his children. What a beautiful thing. That we are the children of God now, that we are in God's family, that we've been adopted into his family. We can now call him our Father. And he says, this is love. Notice, if you would, chapter 4, verse 9, where he talks about Calvary. He says, and this was manifested, the love of God toward us. So in other words, it was displayed toward us because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. God has manifested or his love to the world at Calvary. You know, anytime someone questions the love of God, that's what I always say. I say, but look at the cross. Now that's love. You know, there is no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends. God commendeth, it says, Romans 5, his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commended or showed his love. And the love of God is something that we'll never comprehend completely until we get to heaven, because it is so amazing. It says in Ephesians 3:19, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. In other words, we can't even fully understand the love of the Lord. But one of the things that he has done for us in his love is to make us or declare us to be, notice verse 1 of 1 John 3, that we should be called the sons of God. You know, God saved us, hallelujah. But God did so much more, didn't he? He saved us, but he also completely forgave us. He also adopted us into his family. And as we'll see, he also then gave us eternal life, gave us his presence, and promised to return and take us back to live forever with him. Hallelujah. But we are called the sons of God. John 1:12, it says that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Praise the Lord. Look at Romans 8:16 quickly, if you would. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, where again, God talks about adopting us into his family. He says here, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Can you imagine being a joint heir with Jesus Christ? And yet we are. When we were adopted into God's family. Galatians 3:26 says, ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The day that we placed our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God adopted us and made us his child. Now, the world can't say this. You know, a lot of people like to say God is everyone's father, but that's not what the Bible says, is it? When Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, you know what he said? Ye are of your father, the devil, in John 8:44. So no, you're not a child of God until you are a born-again Christian. And then God adopts you into his family. So what does he say? Verse 1, therefore, 1 John chapter 3, therefore, because you're now in God's family, because you're now one of God's children, you're not the devil's child anymore, therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Why is that? Well, the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. We're different. Amen? We're God's child now. And God's moved in and God has done a miracle in our lives and made us new. And Jesus himself, if you go to John 15:18, explained to the people that the world even hated him. Well, what reason did they have to hate Jesus? He never did anything wrong. It was the message. It was the conviction that the message brought. It was the conviction that even his presence brought to people's hearts that they were sinners and that they needed a Savior. That's what brought the hate. And you know that hasn't changed in 2,000 years, has it? People don't hate Christians because of our behavior or what we look like. They hate us because of who we represent. And that is the righteous Son of God, because it brings conviction. It reveals, as it says in John 3, light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And so notice John 15:18. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. He says the world doesn't hate you because of who you are. The world hates you because of who I am. And that's why the world doesn't know us. Because we're new. Amen? We're part of a new family. Because of who we represent, the Lord Jesus Christ. John said in 1 John 3:13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Don't be shocked if it happens. Don't be shocked when you start telling people that you're a Christian and you love Jesus and you try to share the gospel and it brings up anger. It's not you. Remember that. It's the message. It's the person who you represent. And so he says in verse 2 of our passage, 1 John 3, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And so God says, I've made you my child, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And so God not only did this miracle of making us his child, but then he also gave us this beautiful promise that he's coming back to get us. Notice it says, when he shall appear. When Jesus took the disciples into the upper room there in John 14, if you want to turn there, and in verse 3, speaking to the disciples and to us, he says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen. I will come again. This is part of our hope, is the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming back. He will appear to us. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4 quickly, if you would. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4. Notice it says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. He is our life. We talked about that in Sunday school, but it says he's going to appear. Amen? And when he appears, we're going to appear with him. And so our hope is not only that God has made us and adopted us into his family as his child, that he's coming back, but notice it says, verse 2 of 1 John 3, and we shall be like him. Think about that promise. We will have a new body. Now that is a beautiful hope, isn't it? They just sang about it here a couple minutes ago. No more pain. Amen? No more suffering. The Bible says that we will be like him. Look at Philippians 3:21. God says that our body will be like his glorious body, his post-resurrection body. It says, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Look at that. Like unto his glorious body. We get a new body. Hallelujah. So God says, I've done my part. Amen? I have died for you. I've adopted you into my family, that those of you that have trusted Christ as Savior. I've given you the promise of my return. I've given you the promise of eternal life. I've even given you the promise of a new body one day. That's our hope. And that brings us to verse 3, our key verse this morning. Every man that hath this hope in him. That's our hope. Now in the Bible, the word hope isn't something that you hope will happen. The word hope is being used as something that you know will happen. That's how God uses the word. So it's not a maybe, it's a definite. Amen? And our hope, if you go to Titus chapter 1, is, what's the primary part of our hope? Is that we're going to live forever with the Lord. Notice Titus chapter 1, verse 2. It says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. I'd call that a beautiful hope. Amen? Eternal life. In hope of eternal life. So our hope is that we will live forever. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope. Our hope is that God is coming back. Look at 2 Peter 3:12. And we are waiting for that day. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. It says, looking for, in other words, expecting, and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens bring on the fire shall be, being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. We are hoping for a new heaven and a new earth. We're hoping to spend forever with Jesus. We know it's going to happen. God says, every man, 1 John 3:3, that hath this hope in him, every man who knows that this is real, that he's been adopted into God's family, he has eternal life, one day he gets a new body, and Jesus is going to change it all for us. If you have this hope, what does God say our part is? Purifieth himself. He says, I've done everything. I've given you a new life. I've given you my presence. I've given you the promise that you're going to live with me forever. I've given you the promise I'm going to come back and take you to heaven with me, where there will be no more pain and you get a new body like Christ's body. What does he ask in return? Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. He says that's your part. Amen? And did you notice the word himself? That means that we have to do it. It's not automatic. I'd love it if it was. I'm sure you would too. If we could just say, well, I'm saved now, which means I won't sin anymore. Wouldn't that be awesome? But it doesn't work that way, does it? No, we have to purify ourselves. And that's work, my friend. Removing the filthiness. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Trusting in the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to help you. But we have to purify ourselves. Because we have this great hope that God has done all these things for us, he says, now I want you to purify yourselves. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, which we've talked about. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. There it is again. Let us cleanse ourselves. James 4:8, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. All through the Scriptures, God says, I want you to purify yourself. I want you to live a holy life because I'm holy. I want you to live your testimony. You claim to be a new creature. You claim to be a child of God. Act like one. And all through the Scriptures, He tells us this. Paul said in Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Walk worthy. And look at Philippians 1:27. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Your conversation there, he's not talking about what you say. He's talking about your whole life, your whole demeanor, your whole behavior. Let it be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Let it be an example. Amen? Let it live up to what you claim to be, which is a child of God. Purify yourselves so that your conversation is a reflection of your profession. And then Colossians 1:11. Turn there quickly if you would. Colossians 1:11. Every man that hath this hope in him, the hope of the return of Jesus, the hope of eternal life, the hope of a new body, the hope of forever with Jesus Christ. If you have this hope, he says, here's what I want from you, God. Says, purify yourself. Colossians 1:11, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Fruitful in every good work. I want you to purify yourselves so that you can work for me and do it as a good testimony, as it becometh the gospel of Christ. God has done so much for us, and we're not going to understand it all till we get to heaven. And you know what we had to do to get it? Nothing. Just trust Christ. God paid the price. God gave us eternal life. It's a gift, we're told. He gifted us eternal life. He moved in, gave us His presence. We're now the temple of the Holy Ghost. And He's promised us to come back and take us to glory. He's done all that. And we didn't have to pay for it. We didn't have to earn it. He just gave it to us. He says, now I'm returned. Here's what I want from you. Purify yourself. If you have this hope in you, if you know these things are true, if you know you're my child and you know I'm in you and you know that I'm with you and you know that I'm coming back to get you and you know that you're going to live forever with me, purify yourself. Even as He is pure. Be an example. Be one that, as it says there, let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. Be a reflection of what a child of God should act and look like. This is what God says. Purify yourself even as He is pure. So God's done His part. Now we need to do our part. Amen. And live a pure life. A life of holiness. What a challenge. What a task. But with God's help, we can do this. We just got to keep cleaning out the unpure stuff and replacing it with pure and just keep growing. And we can be what God wants us to be. Amen? You know, I didn't speak to you, but if you're in our service and you're not sure you're born again, this wasn't for you, this message. Because first you got to be born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. First, you must come to that point where you acknowledge you're a sinner, you deserve hell for your sin, and Christ paid the price for your sin and offers you that gift of eternal life that we talked about if you will trust Him. You've got to come to that point and acknowledge it to be true and ask Him for His salvation. And you can do that even today. But those of us that are Christians, are we a reflection of what we should be? Or is our reflection what it should be, of what we are?